blessing it is to be able to weep together. I was encouraged. I thought that song was so fitting. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. This morning I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 5. I will confess that I struggle to know what to share in light of all that has happened recently. And my mind went to this section of Scripture for a very definite reason, and I want to explain that reason as we progress. I'd like to begin reading in verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But when I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed, and walk. Then asked they him, What man is this that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. In the beginning verses, we see that Jesus was in Jerusalem with a purpose in mind. And that was to attend the feast. Now, we do not know specifically which feast this was. It would seem that it was one of the feasts that required that every male would attend. There were three of those. One was Passover, one was Pentecost, and the other was Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles. It's not specified which one of these it was. But the thing that I took notice of is where Jesus decided to spend his time. He went to the pool of Bethesda. That word is a compound word in the Hebrew that means house and then loving kindness or mercy. So we recognize this morning that Jesus decided to go to the pool of Bethesda. That is the house of mercy. That is where he wanted to go, so that he might find individuals to whom he could minister and to whom he could bless. Hurts that he could heal. Sicknesses, whatever they might be. And as we consider that, we understand the heart of God. And that is his motivation in life, as it were, is that to meet and heal the needs and hurts of men. He could have gone, as many of us might have, to the places of power. He could have been at the palace. He could have been a lot of other places, but he chose to instead go to the Pool of Bethesda. If it had been today, I was thinking of the fact this morning that if Jesus would have come to Richmond instead, he would have likely have been visiting the soup kitchens or wherever that low place in Richmond is, where people are desperate for need and needing hope and healing. That is the place where Jesus would have been. As we consider this man, we realize that this man was there by the pool for a very, very long time. It says in verse 5, and a certain man was there. It doesn't even give his name, which had an infirmity 38 years. Now, you just think about how long 38 years really is. Probably the majority of the congregation this morning is close to or under 38 years of age. 1979 would have been about the year in today's terminology when this man would have been there. I'm not sure if he was at the pool for 38 years or he had the infirmity 38 years, but he was there a long, long time. And he found no remedy for his need. He was sick. He was incurably sick. We understand that if healing could have been found in any other way, I'm sure that this individual would have sought a remedy for that need. I was thinking also of another desperate individual. Turn back to the book of John, chapter 4. And this morning we're thinking of the ministry of Christ to those in need. Another individual who was very, very desperate. It is not specifically mentioned that she is desperate, but I think in her circumstances surrounding the story, we understand that she was. And I want to begin reading in verse 1 of 4, chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And it says in verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. I want you to just think about that phrase. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. As I think of this individual that was by the well, There are a number of things that give me an indication or a window into her life. One is simply circumstantial. She was coming to the well at a very odd time. It was the sixth hour, which means it was 12 noon, which means it was the hottest part of the day. The second thing that I notice about this individual is that she was alone. It was highly unusual for a woman of that day to go to the well alone at the heat of the day. It would seem that she was an individual that was trying to avoid crowds, to avoid people, individuals. She had a storied past. We can understand that because she had had five husbands. It's possibly true that they would have all deceased and passed away, but it is more likely true that she was divorced multiple times. Now I ask the question again. Why does it say in verse 4 that Jesus must needs go through Samaria? I would suggest this morning that the reason Jesus must needs go through Samaria is because he understood the hurting heart of this woman. He understood the disappointments and regrets that she had in life. He understood her pain that she was experiencing, and he was going to do something about that. He went to the well and sat with her there. He explained the gift of eternal life, the water which will never dry up, the well that need never run dry. As we think of these two individuals, we realize that the first man was wounded in his flesh, but the second individual, the woman, was wounded in her spirit. Is it any wonder this morning, as we consider the ministry of Christ and where he chose to go and the people that he chose to identify with, is it any wonder to us that Jesus sought the houses of healing? Matthew 11 and verse 28 says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He goes on further to describe the work of Christ in Matthew 12 and verse 20. It says there that a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. Just the very picture of God's mercy, reaching out to the needs of individuals. This morning we have the assurance that he feels our pain. He feels our joy. He feels our loss. And he enters into our hopes and our aspirations. He is there with us and for us. And in all of this, he mixes justice and mercy, does he not? In the mercy of Christ, we see exampled the command of Paul, where it says to rejoice with those that rejoice and to weep with those that weep. As we consider the individual by the well in Matthew chapter 5, he had been there in this state of infirmity for quite a long time. And we don't know why there was no one there to help him to enter into the pool. But wouldn't you think that there would have been someone somewhere that could have helped this individual to find healing in those waters? But apparently, he was unable to move very fast at all. And because of that weakness that he had, he was never able to enter into the water in time to experience healing. And that was miraculous. We believe it just as it says, that there was an angel that came down at a certain season, and apparently that season was not predictable. But it was at a certain time, the angel would come down and disturb the water. And at that time, anyone that was first into the pool found healing. But we recognize that this man had not found healing. He had not found the hope that he sought. And the point that I'm thinking of, that I'm trying to bring out, is that he had no hope. He had no hope and he had no help. And in that condition, he faced an impossibility that he could never experience healing. He was doomed to lay there until he died. And the point that I want to bring out this morning is that apart from Christ, are we in any better circumstance? Are we in any better situation? And as we think about whatever that need is in our life, just whatever it might be, we recognize this morning that apart from Christ, apart from His work in our life, it is impossible that we will find healing in this life. But as we come to Him in faith, just as this individual did, as Jesus approached him, he said in verse 8, Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And it says, immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. As we come to him, we can have the assurance that whatever that need is, it can be met. It may be met. You know, we might try a lot of things in life. We might try resolutions. Have you ever tried a few of those? Have you ever broke them? Well, what is that New Year's resolution? Why did that thing ever get started? I have no idea. You know, on some fancy of men. But, you know, it doesn't work. I found out it doesn't work. You know, I struggle with things sometimes. I struggle with my weight a little bit, more than a little bit. And I try to assure myself I'm going to do this or do that or do the next thing, and you know what? It just it's hard to make stick. Resolutions, we might try a lot of things. We might buy a book. You know, if you ever tried to find answers in books, I'm not saying that there can't. I'm not saying that there's not a place for that. But what I'm saying is, if we are to find health, if we are to find happiness, if we are to find healing, it's found in one place. Jesus emphasizes something. He says, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Now, can you imagine what worse thing could be than to lay for 38 years in a condition of impotency where you cannot take care of yourself? You cannot. Can you imagine what would be worse than that? Well, as we think about it, it is possible. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 13. It is possible to have many worse things occur to individuals that live a life of sin. Proverbs 13 and verse 1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Verse 2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of transgressors shall eat violence. Look over into verse 15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. We see that all about us, do we not? Some of us have experienced that. The way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor shall eat violence. We would not have to go far around us to begin to see the evidence of sin and the complete destruction that it brings in home life, in personal life, in public life. And there's no aspect of life that is not touched by individuals that live in sin. And let me assure you this morning that their way is incredibly hard. I have family members that live for self and for sin, and if I would begin to catalog the woes that they experience, we would be astonished. The way of the transgressor is hard. And Jesus is very clear. If we continue in sin, a worse thing may indeed come upon us. When we violate the holy will of God, We not only sin against his holiness, but we also sin against our own bodies, which are made in his likeness. And as we do so, we invite all manner of vice and weakness and trouble and infirmity into our lives. Galatians 6 and verse 7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." I had to think of an individual as I thought about that, someone that we're all familiar with, and that is Saul. As we think of Saul the apostle, before his conversion, he had a lot of things going for him, did he not? Could we list them? Wealth. He came from a very wealthy family. Not anyone could have been able to provide education at Jerusalem under the teacher Gamaliel. He had Roman citizenship. He had influence. He had respect. We could keep going down the line. He had a pedigree. You know, he mentions that at one point. I forget exactly where the reference is found, but he mentions all of these things. And what does it say at the very end of those things? That he counts them but dung, that he may win Christ. But all of these things, he was sort of the cream of the crop. But yet as he kicked against those pricks of God, that wealthy, polished, popular, influential individual, his soul was going to hell. And he was suffering because of that. But he changed. It says in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am what? Chief." And you know, brethren, until we get to that point, until we get to that point where we see ourselves as dirt before God, we have offended his holiness and we need his forgiveness. Not until then do we experience peace and forgiveness and restoration. And we see all of that in Paul. What would we do without Paul? He wrote 13 of the 27 New Testament books. But he experienced the restoration of God. He was a changed man. It says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, a picture of Paul. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." Turn back with me to the book of John, chapter 5. And I want to consider something else that Jesus asked this man. Seems like a very odd question. As Jesus surveyed the scene, he saw the individual, he knew his history. He says to him, at the end of verse 6, he asks the question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The thing that stands out to me this morning is that it's a choice. You know, this individual had laid there for a long time, but he still had to make a choice. During those long years by the pool, he had witnessed many changes, but he himself had not changed. Jesus asked the same question this morning, I believe, to each one of us. "Wilt thou be made whole?" And when he asks that question of us, he knows what the need is. We know what the need is. He desires to meet that need. In fact, addressing that need, turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul speaking in respect to offerings that were lifted for him in support of his ministry. Beginning in verse 11, chapter 4 and verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." I'm sure the Apostle Paul knew what it was to, you know, have plenty to eat, support was good, But he also knew what it was to be hungry and have all of those absent as well. In verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. It says, and I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again into my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Verse 19 is what I want to notice. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And it is with that confidence that Paul could say in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That is true this morning. The same promise was extended to Moses. And think with me back to the book of Exodus there where God called Moses to go to the children of Israel and to free them from the oppression of Pharaoh. He asked a very important question of the Lord. Moses asked God who he should name to Israel when they asked who it was that brought them out of Egypt. The answer that God gave in Exodus 3 and verse 14 is this. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Now, what does that mean? You know, when someone says that I am, we might naturally respond, you are what? It's a name without distinction. And I think that that was not a mistake. Because as you think of the fullness of God, in all that he is, in all that he can be, in all that he will be, how would you ever put a name to it? You could not. He is anything and everything that we could possibly need. That is the message this morning. That was the message to Moses and to the children of Israel, and it's the same message to us. We can think of the names of God in the scriptures. They're manifold. Many, 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 many names. But I want to think of three this morning. Three specifically. One is found in Psalm 19 in verse 14. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read them. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Matthew 6 and verse 9. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. James chapter 2 and verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness and he was called the friend of God. Just three names as we think of those three verses. One is Redeemer. The second is Father. And the third is Friend. God desires to be each one of those things to us this morning. As the hymn says, wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore, my redemption full and sure. He is all I need. This morning we recognize that God is able to meet that need. Whatever it is, but the question is, are we willing to receive him? Shall we kneel in prayer?